Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Chris McShane. Chris, prior to his return to Major League Action, David Wright showed up at the Mets Hotel in full baseball uniform with a plate of cookies. So, if you, after a long trip, got into your domicile or hotel room or whatever late at night, and you could have one Met surprise you with some tasty vittles, what Met would you pick and what would you want him to bring?
So I'm thinking a little outside the food box here.
Sure, it doesn't have to be food.
But the answer probably won't surprise anyone who is familiar with my jersey collection. But I'm going to say Kadir showing up with a bag of magic tricks.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
It is the one area of where he is not literally useless.
Yes.
We know on the baseball field he definitely is.
So somebody says.
Yeah, nobody's going to get that joke, and that's fine.
No.
I thought you might go with David Wright showing up with some brewskis, since you very famously on the podcast told the story of you missing out on having beers with David Wright.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I thought about bringing up Carlos Gomez because, you know, why not, and Skittles.
Yes.
As the former Met and the potentially former, future former Met or whatever.
What is it? There was that famous quote he gave. What was he eating? Because it was like rich people food or something.
Well, yeah, that was a great quote, that he had looked up what rich people eat, and I forget what it was, but he found something.
What
rich people talk about.
Yeah, but it has something to do with food, and as always, scintillating radio. Yes, I'm Googling Carlos Gomez Googling rich people conversations. So we're down the rabbit hole here, definitely. Unsurprisingly, the second link is to a Ted Berg article, so let's check on that. He was eating kiwis because it had three times as much potassium as bananas. Ryan Braun wanted to know how he had heard that. He told me, now that I'm wealthy, I'm Googling rich people conversations. So he knows what to talk to wealthy people about and came across that data. Still say they didn't trade for Carlos Gomez. Not that I can really complain about it, but I can be sad about it. My answer, I'm going to sort of liberally interpret the question in terms of current Mets. And I'm going with Mr. Met. So, you know, sometimes you're out late. Usually when I'm coming home late at night, I've had a little bit too much to drink. I probably haven't eaten dinner. This may have just happened last week, which is why I was thinking about it. So I need to eat something before I go to bed. So I just want, and what I've been sort of using as my late night snack food is the Trader Joe's spinach and artichoke dip.
Okay.
But it's kind of a pain to prepare. You have to, like, cut it out of this tight plastic thing, and then you have to microwave it, stir it, and microwave it again. So I just want Mr. Met to show up in my apartment waiting with a big crock of Trader Joe's spinach artichoke dip, maybe some tortilla chips, and we'll just hang out and watch Mind of a Chef on Netflix. That's what I usually do when I get in at, like, whatever hour of the morning. Maybe play some FIFA. That's another thing I do. Just hang out with Mr. Met. I kind of like the image in my head of it is pretty amusing, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is... It's pretty great.
Alternatively, he's not a Met anymore. I could have Mike Pelfrey show up with a big bowl of pasta.
As long as he brings the ladle.
You got to bring the ladle, yes. We're going deep into, like, inside Amazing Avenue jokes for the show. And really just wasting your time, which is a problem because we're on a tight schedule this week. I am moving into a new apartment, so I don't have internet set up there either. So we're not going to do any emails this week. I mean, we will, just not for this podcast. We'll do a special email podcast later in the week, probably this weekend. Now, this is all your fault, listeners, because you sent me 5 emails in the last 24 hours before we were going to record. Otherwise, you probably could have gotten everything done nicely. But there is still plenty to talk about. As you may have heard, the Mets' offense is now really socking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. in both Colorado and in Philly. I think as we record this on Wednesday night, they're already up 3-0. So we'll talk a little bit about what's going on there, because I'm very confused. I'll talk about my main man, Wilmer Flores, who's been leading this renewed offensive assault. And see what's going on there. The answer will not surprise any of you that have listened to the show or follow me on Twitter. I have a mea culpa this week, too. I may have said some things about Logan Verrett that I'm going to walk back slightly on last week's show. We'll also touch on Noah Syndergaard and if he might be tiring as the season's going on, how the Mets should manage him down the stretch. And finally, we'll check in with the Nationals, who as we begin play tonight are 5.5 back, but still fairly confident. And just because we were skipping your emails does not mean we are skipping our IFK Gothenburg update. We'll get to that in due time as well. But we'll kick things off with the Mets' offensive explosion in a series that neither Chris or I watch much of. So you at least saw the Friday night game.
Yeah, I saw almost the entirety of the Friday night game and several innings of Saturday night. So
I have been moving, so I have watched very little of it. I've seen all the highlights in the condensed games, and really the highlights are the best part. So it's just dinger after dinger after dinger.
Yeah, the one clip that WOR posted of Howie.
Of all the home run calls, yeah.
Back to back to back. By the time he gets to the sixth home run, he is having such a good time with it.
Oh, it was... Yeah, he was just, like, trying not to... He was a little bit taking the piss out of it, but also trying not to crack up laughing at the same time. Because it was kind of absurd. Yeah, I watched probably... Actually, that's not true. I watched some of that game. I watched some of that game? I don't know, I'm confusing it with the Monday night game. It's just a blur of offense right now. Where the heck was I on Saturday? I was driving home from our Sheffield Wednesday meetup. I got in at like 9. I didn't watch any of it. I listened to some of it on the radio. The Saturday game. But yeah, it's just a blur of offense at this point. And look, these teams are terrible. Like listening to some of the Rocky series and just what happened over the last 2 weeks against the Rockies home and away, you're like, yeah, maybe the Rockies are the worst team the Mets have played this year. I previously thought this a couple weeks ago about the Marlins. But then they finally got to play the Phillies again for the first time since May, and it's like, nah, it's still the Phillies. They're still the worst. But I know much has been made sort of about their record against good teams, but they're really beating the crap out of the bad teams. And you can't pick what division you play in. Somebody's got to win the worst division in baseball, so it might as well be the Mets. You know, the media is the one that always like, oh, the second wild card, now it's really important to win your division. Well, sometimes your division's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and to their credit, the Nationals have gotten to play in this division all year as well.
Yeah, their schedule's not exactly hard coming down the stretch.
No. But I don't know. I don't think... That perhaps I'm getting into the complex here a little bit, but I don't think we hear too much about abolishing divisions and ease of schedule if the Nationals are 5.5 games ahead, as everybody expected.
No, and the idea is you win, get to the playoffs. That's all you can do. Build the best team you can to win 162 games. Because in a short series, I don't really care what the Mets' record was against any of the potential playoff teams they might meet. Don't really care. I will take my chances.
Right. I don't think Giants fans care.
No.
What that was last year.
So, we haven't done this in a while on the show. We'll give you the triple slash line update for the team this year. Chris, they're up to 242, 306, 389. It's a 94 weighted runs created plus. Almost competent.